There are so many unknowns and so many scary parts with going independent. And one thing that I found especially challenging is when you land a new client, it is the most amazing feeling ever. You're like, I'm independent. My company is now working with this client, right? That is a feeling I've never had before. And it's one of the most rewarding moments ever. It's like, wow, I did that. Or like, I have the chance to work with this company. The thing I've learned though is about 5 minutes later, you start panicking a little bit because you're like, oh, well, amazing. But what happens after this?
Welcome to the Dive Club. My name is Rid, and this is where designers never stop learning. Now, this week's episode is with Joey Banks, who was actually the very first person ever interviewed on Dive Club. Now, back then, he was leading design systems for Webflow, but now he's over a year into working for himself. So a big part of this episode is going to be pulling back the curtain to show what it's like to finally take the leap and go independent. So let's start off by learning a little bit more about Joey's recent career journey.
Right now I'm working independently over at my company, which still feels so wild to say my company, Baseline. And I've been independent for just over a year, if you can believe it. Time is really flying. Rid, last time I talked to you, I was over at Webflow. I was working as a design systems designer over there, and it was such a fun time. Got to work on the new look and feel of Webflow that's out today. And before that was over at Twitter, which was an amazing job. I loved my time there. I was hoping it would be a lot longer, but it was amazing while it lasted. And before that was over at Figma. So there's been a lot of changes recently, and I feel like I'm happiest right now, which actually feels pretty amazing to say.
Real quick message, and then we can jump back into it. So I've been using this new product to do research called Genway. It uses AI-powered interviewers to help you gather qualitative data at basically an infinite scale. So I've actually been interviewing listeners of this show all over the world. I tell the AI what I'm hoping to learn, and then it has a dynamic conversation with each person. Genway then organizes all of the key insights for me automatically. So I learned more in a 2-week study than I had in a year and a half prior. Needless to say, I am totally hooked. And if you want to take your research to the next level, head to dive.club/Genway to get 2 months free. That's Genway. There's been a lot of talk recently on this show about the power of designers who can ship. And that's why I'm so excited about a new product called Desen. It allows you to ship design changes, but you don't have to write the code. Just open up your live app. Their extension overlays a Figma-like interface so that you can easily make design changes. And then their AI writes all the code and pushes it to your GitHub for you. That means you, as a designer, can now contribute directly to production. It's a pretty big deal, and you can start today. Head to dive.club/Desen. That's D-E-S-S-N. I'm really excited about this episode because not only were you the very first guest ever, when at that point, I knew that this was going to be a podcast. So it's a fun little bookend. But then also, we were talking via Slack, both strongly considering leaving our jobs around the same time, and now have this. So I'm excited for this to be a little reflection to help people visualize what the heck it's to blaze your own trail, work independent. So I want to talk about all those different like reflection points and really get into the details. But maybe first, can we drill into some of the client work that you've been doing just so people have a better idea of the types of things you're working on and maybe even the level of variance that exists between these different projects?
Definitely. I think I'm still trying to figure it out, but I've got it sorted into, I think, 3 large buckets right now. So the first bucket, it's the big bucket, and that's where I'm doing design system work. I'm integrating myself with teams. I'm working part-time capacity, helping teams take their existing product and bring it back into Figma to make sense of it, to invent patterns, to organize all of the components and the styles and the variables, and really just to turn it into something that feels usable and a bit more organized. Something so funny is like you get to these big companies, these amazing dream clients, and you're like, oh, they've got it all together. I'm just going to be cleaning up some colors here and there. And it's, wow, we are really starting fresh here. But that's the fun part, just getting to make something and help them invent something that will last way longer than my time there. So that's the big bucket, doing consulting work. And to be honest, Ray, like it feels like such a dream. One of the reasons why I went independent was I love the production design work. I love just putting on a podcast, maybe yours, and just jamming away, like building components and trying to think through complex problems within the tool of Figma, but also within the product that I'm working on. And so it feels really great to be able to practice that. The second bucket is the most surprising one, I think, and I have you to thank, which is I have a, and it's called Level Up with Figma. And it's been going for about 16 months now, believe it or not. I can't believe it. When I launched this course, I had never made a course before. I had no idea how to really teach, I think, or I thought I had no idea how to teach. I had no idea what this course would look like. And to be honest, I expected maybe 20 students to enroll. And if I got 30, it was going to be a total win. It's just unreal, but almost 1,500 people have gone through it. It's amazing. Just the support from the community, but also getting to meet and work with 1,500 people, really talented designers in our community. I feel like I'm, again, just living my dream, being able to help people, being able to show them the tool that is Figma and how they can elevate their careers within the tool and make the most of it. That is one of my favorite things to do. And I feel so lucky I've got that.
Real quick, if you're listening to this and you do want to learn directly from Joey, I asked him if we could share just a little discount for the Dive community. And he said yes. So head to dive.club/Joey to get a special offer. Okay, back to the episode.
And then the third bucket is working with companies and helping them get on board of Figma, helping them understand the tool of Figma, helping their design teams build amazing systems within the tool. And once those systems are built, helping to educate those on the team how to actually use and make the most of the tool. Because one discovery that I had working at companies like Twitter and Webflow were you can build an amazing system and a library in Figma, but if people don't really know how to use the latest tools in Figma, it's really hard to build something that feels advanced and capable and is using the latest tools. And it's a really big ask to ask people to like keep up to date on the tool itself to go to use the thing that you're building. And so that's where I try to come in to build maybe a baseline understanding to level out everyone's knowledge of the tool so that teams can be really successful within it.
I can imagine that you're having a blast making all the components and working on the design systems. And that is very much so in your wheelhouse. But can you talk a little bit about what's it been like integrating into these companies as a consultant? Because I think a lot of designers listening probably don't have that perspective.
It's really unique and really interesting. I think I've learned that there are a lot of pros and a lot of cons, actually. I have only known being full-time at a company throughout my entire career so far, and I'm 31. It's not a huge career, but that's a long time of only knowing that experience. And so this is my very first time acting as a consultant where I'm joined in a company from the outside, and I'm a part of the team, but I'm not really a part of the team, right? I'm coming in from the outside. And so there are a lot of benefits, and maybe to speak to those first, I feel like I'm able to come in and bring like the experience and the knowledge and the parts of the process that I love most. And from an outside perspective, like I have found that they are putting a lot of trust in me as a consultant. And that feels a little scary, but it also feels really empowering. It's, wow, I get to be here and I get to share my experience and my practice with you. And you're looking for kind of my direct feedback or my direct expertise rather than trying to necessarily needing to write a bunch of PRDs and documents and sharing and trying to push something forward to get it integrated within a quarter like that. So that's been really interesting. I think it's also nice because I get to be there for the important things, but I get to skip out a lot on the politics and the parts of big companies and big tech that can often feel a little bit draining. I get to just focus on the work and focus on the team that I'm partnering with and focus on the outcomes that I'm there to help them achieve. Now, that said, there's a lot of hard parts too. It's a little isolating. And I think that's something we'll talk about going independent, but you realize, yeah, I am on this team. I do get to work with these people, but I'm also not really on this team. I'm here for a set amount of time, and I hope that time were to get extended if everything were going well and they were enjoying me and I was enjoying working with them. But you're just like an outside person who also happens to be in their Slack. And I think that's an interesting to try to get used to. So lots of pros and cons. The other thing that I've realized, Rid, is like you almost always have to be on. And that was a big shift where it's like, they are paying me hourly or weekly or project-based, whatever it might be. And so when I'm there, like I have to be on. I can't necessarily, on some meetings when you're in big companies, right? Like sometimes you're a little bit more passive versus completely into tune to what's happening. And so that is just a little bit of a shift. It's like less time spent, but it's that time feels a lot more meaningful. And I think that's the part I'm enjoying most. I'm definitely someone who gets a little bit drained when I'm in a lot of meetings where I especially don't feel like I need to be there or I'm not adding value. And so that ability to come from the outside and really focus my attention on like the tasks there and like what we're trying to achieve, that feels really rewarding.
I think a lot of people listening probably are interested in going independent, but there's some scary black boxes around what that could look like. And the biggest one probably is just, man, will I be able to get clients?
Yeah.
What has that been like for you? How much of it has been you doing like outbound or referrals? How long do these contracts even last? Are you dealing with multiple at a time? Like when you look at your quote unquote sales pipeline, can you just shed a little bit of light on what that looks like?
Definitely. I think that's by far the scariest piece. Will I have work? Will I have clients? Honestly, even asking yourself, am I good enough to do this? If someone does hire me, can I actually do the work? So for me, I feel so fortunate. My very first client going independent was with a company where the person I was working with there, I worked with at Twitter. And so we knew each other really well. We had a really close partnership there. And they were doing similar work to what we were doing at Twitter. And it felt like a perfect fit. And that company I'm still working with almost a year later. And so I feel extremely fortunate for like long contracts like that. Now that's not the normal. And certainly that's a huge advantage that I've got of knowing someone and getting in a way like that. And I'm really thankful that worked out. Most companies I'm working with, or most contracts, I should say, usually about 90 days. I try to take on a couple at a time just in case maybe there's changes over here or there's a little bit of flows over here and ebbs over here. Like maybe I'm not working with them as long as I originally thought, or maybe I'm working with them a little bit longer. I am trying really hard to always dot my I's and cross my T's and trying to make sure if this contract were to end early, would we be okay financially? Would I still be able to like have work? And so I try to integrate a little bit of overlap as much as I can. There are so many unknowns and so many scary parts with going independent. And one thing that I found especially challenging is when you land a new client, it is the most amazing feeling ever. You're like, I am independent. My company is now working with this client, right? That is a feeling I've never had before. And it's one of the most rewarding moments ever. It's, wow, I did that. Or I have the chance to work with this company. The thing I've learned though is about 5 minutes later, you start panicking a little bit because you're like, oh, well, amazing. But what happens after this? What do I do after this 90-day period? Or what do I do after this contract ends? And so it's these little short bursts of excitement and reward followed by a lot of panic of, well, this is amazing, but I can't celebrate too much or kick back too much because I don't know what's going to happen after. To me, it always feels like you're climbing this mountain, but you can only look upward. You can't really pause and look out at the view or look at how far you've come. And that's taught me a lot about how I am trying to evaluate like my own success. It's not just financially by any means. I think a lot of the success is in the work and how much I'm enjoying it and getting to help clients. But it's also in just trying to take that situation and not panic and trying to make the most of it and trying to do my best work for the clients I'm with and using that momentum to go forward, if that makes sense. And speaking on that, this has been a real surprise. I have done almost no personal outreach. Almost every new client so far has been referral. I just had something recently happen where I am actively working with a client. They were enjoying our partnership so much and they had a friend who was looking for similar work and they introduced me to that client as I'm working with them. And so for that, extremely fortunate, but it also has shown just doing good work often leads to other opportunities to do good work for people and to keep like close ties, I think is one of the most important things that I'm trying to learn and trying to practice.
The idea of not really being able to pause and celebrate the wins really resonates. Cause I think the biggest thing that I've felt since leaving is like all of the momentum I'm experiencing, I'm 100% responsible for. You don't really get to piggyback off of anyone else pushing initiatives forward. It just feels like if I'm not going to do this, like it's not going to happen. And you don't really, you can't even really control the timing that much. Like the first big ad partnership that I had, which was like, that was my big thing that I had to de-risk. Can I actually monetize a media business? Happened like 24 hours after I had my first kid and we're like in the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
And so it's chaotic in so many ways. And it just feels, man, if you are not the one pushing things forward, then they don't move forward.
Yeah, I think that's extremely true. And I think that was something I learned on week two of being independent, where it's like, unfortunately, I say this cautiously because burnout is very real. And I don't want anyone out there to think if you do this kind of work or if you go independent, you're going to be working 7 days a week. I don't. And I truly hope that no one else has to. I think breaks are important and you really need them to do good work. That said, though, I learned pretty quickly that you do always have to be on. If something comes in, or if maybe you didn't deliver something correctly and there's a note on Saturday and then something's due on Monday, you can't really just wait until Monday to take care of it. Yeah. You are the person responsible. And that said, too, like, you are the person responsible for your own success. And there's no more like peer reviews. There's no more career tracks. It's up to you in discovering, like, well, where do I want to take my career? And what do I want to focus on this week? What do I want to try to learn? Why am I in this? What are the learnings that I want to get out of this? I love production work. I think you know this better than anyone. I love jamming in Figma, but I also want my career to be a lot more than just being in Figma. I want to take on new challenges as I work with each and every client, building up or building outward or expanding like the things that I'm working on. So it's a constant evaluation, being on and trying to understand, well, or remind yourself, like, why am I doing this? What's important to me? What is the number one thing I want to focus on this week? And I'm not sure if you're doing this, but one thing that I've started practicing pretty recently is honestly just sitting down once a quarter and reflecting a little bit. Asking myself, what went well this quarter? What didn't go so well? What learnings did I have? No complex questions, more so just like simple questions to try to get me to think, because every day is starting to feel a little bit like a blur. Time is going so fast when you're in this work and when you're trying to always think about what's next. And just an example, like one learning I had this last reflection was, I really find that I enjoy the work a lot more when it's for a company or for a product that I use. I feel like I have a lot more familiarity with it. I want to see it succeed. It feels so exciting. I remember when I first got to Twitter, I remember opening up their Figma file and I was like, oh my gosh, that's the tweet button. That's the button. It's right here in Figma.
The holy button.
Yeah. And it felt like such a special moment. I was like, wow, I'm in like Twitter's design system. And so I'm trying to chase that feeling, working with the teams that I really care about and the companies and the products that I find a lot of joy in. And so that's an interesting learning, right? Okay, maybe I'll chase more of that this quarter if I can. So yeah, reflections have been really helpful.
Are there any learnings that have impacted the way that you approach either like your day-to-day or maybe even your week-to-week, where you've identified something that you can improve, or maybe you've put like a system in place to help you preserve this momentum once you get going?
Yeah, it's a lot of simple practices that I hope add up. And so, for example, I time block my calendar to an extreme extent. And I it's not out of trying to create or maximize every minute of the day, but I just want to make sure that I'm giving clients and the projects and the work that I need to do the right amount of time. Something that was really surprising, maybe you've experienced this too, or anyone who's independent or working freelance has as well, but I was so shocked at how much time I now have to spend on email. I remember like when I was at big companies before or working with a team before, I think throughout my entire career, I've probably sent less than 20 emails. And like now it's 20 emails a week at minimum, I would say. And so there's just a lot more time that has to be dedicated to admin tasks like that. Now, as far as like the tools and things like that, Notion has been awesome as far as saving clients, saving notes, tracking hours, that sort of thing, managing invoices, managing finances. That's a huge thing that I'm having to learn a lot about. And also, one thing I'd love to share a little bit about was just systems that you can try to set up for yourself as you evaluate, can I do this? Will I be able to make it in this? Can I actually try to go independent? Because something that was a huge blocker for me when I was evaluating, is this the right decision? Can I go independent? Do I have what it takes to be organized? And do I have the knowledge that someone needs to actually go independent? Was I was really afraid of, I don't know what I don't know. And is that going to hurt me? Is that going to prevent me from trying something? I have never written a statement of work in my life until last year. I had no idea what you even put in a statement of work. I state that I'm going to do some work. Is that it? I had no idea. All I knew is that you put it in Times New Roman and you sent it off to make it look good. But there were a lot of things like that. Legal issues. I had no idea how to file for a trademark, or I had no idea how to pay estimated taxes every quarter, or even that I had to, right? There were a lot of things like that. And so it was that like, oh my gosh, there are so many unknown answers and so many questions, and every question leads to more questions. And is it just better to stay at the full-time job where I know it's safe and I know how to do the work, right? And so one thing I started doing early on was every question that I had, or every thought, or every moment of anxiety, I would take a note on it. I would create a new note. I would write down the question as the title. I would write down the thought that was giving me a little bit of anxiety as the title. And I would, when the time was right, I would go out there and research how to do it, or look to other people of how they approached that situation or that moment of panic, and I would write it down. And this helps me honestly create one of the most valuable resources I have, where I have almost 400 notes now that are just full of the answers of all of the questions that I've had throughout the last year and beyond. And anytime I'm doubting myself or wondering like, gosh, can I do it? I still have all of these questions. Like, I'm looking to that tool that has all of those notes in it. I'm like, I have answered a lot of questions throughout the last year. I'm able to see progress in my own learning and the things that I'm discovering. I have found that as fast as I can get something out of my head and into a place where I can take action on it, either now or later, that's helped a lot. And that has helped take away that fear that actually, I don't know if I can do this, right? Because I don't know how to start an LLC, or I don't know how to write an amendment to a contract, right? Things like that I now can do because they came up and they happened. And so I think that's something, gosh, I'd recommend to anyone. If you're struggling with these questions, or if you're even thinking about doing a little bit of freelance on the side or going independent and you're unsure of all of these questions, write them down. And one by one, you chip away at them to build up a larger knowledge base of the answers that you're finding.
I'm just going to underline that. I was listening to a podcast from, I think it was David Perrell and Tiago Forte, and they talked about this idea of, if you ever have to do something more than once, then take the time to document it completely. Mm-hmm. And I took that to heart, and same thing. It's been like my greatest source of knowledge and investment that I can then tap into in the future, because it's so easy to forget things too.
Yeah.
Where you think you're going to remember this one workflow that you like debugged and figured out, or had to research some legal question, but yeah, like you don't. And so like now I'm so diligent, same thing. Like I have a Notion database. It's filterable by like the different tools that I use too. And it's just like, here's how to do X. And most of them are actually just Loom videos. Like I'll make like a 5-minute Loom video that like, here's how I click this.
Yeah. It's funny too. I've started doing that for a lot of other things in my life. I've never been one for the whole like second brain or anything like that, or getting things out there. And you can do this in any tool. It doesn't have to be any of these tools that come and go. You can open up Apple Notes. You can have a text edit, a long text edit doc. You could have multiple text edit docs, Google Docs, whatever makes sense. I think it's just about getting those things out there and storing them so that you can come back to them, but also so you can see them. And something I'm doing as well, or I'm trying to do, is even like this podcast, right? Like I've learned so much that I want to share with others in case they're considering going independent. And those notes and those resources have helped me share a little bit easier. If someone has a similar question that I've maybe run into in the past, awesome, I've got the answer there and I'm happy to share that with you. I think something maybe just to touch on, when I was going independent, every single day, it feels like you're going against the grain that you shouldn't be going against. I remember my very first day of being independent. It almost felt like a bit of a snow day where I was at home. All of my previous coworkers were at work, but it felt like I should be there. And I was like glancing at the clock and I was like, oh yeah, now I would be in our daily stand up, or now I would be working on this, right? It was almost like you were home from school and you were trying to think, what class would I be in now?
I felt the same way, where I kind of treated the first week as a little bit of vacation. It was summer and I played a lot of pickleball. But then it was that second week for me where I was sitting back on my computer, and you're right, like I knew all the standing meetings. I knew what I would be doing in my old role. That limbo state was really hard. The way that I was always describing is it felt like I was running on a treadmill at 20 miles an hour, and then I just got off the treadmill. But like all the inertia and like my organs felt like they were still going 20 miles an hour for a solid few weeks. It was not easy.
Yeah. And it feels odd. Like you can run to the store on a Tuesday and like you're the only one there and things. And that's where that feeling of, wow, I'm really going against the grain of the rest of society. Am I doing the right thing? Can I actually succeed in this independence? It is really tricky. And something someone told me once, and I try to remind myself of often, is although what I'm doing feels really unique and scary, so many people ahead of me and after me will do this. It's not unique at all. It's just trying out another path as far as the career goes. And I think a reflection I had recently was, although it felt like I was leaving like big tech and leaving the world of employment, I've actually joined a pretty large community of people who have now done the same thing. And I feel like I've joined this community of freelancers and independents and consultants and people who have started their own thing. I definitely worry a lot. Like if I had to go back to a job tomorrow, not could I do it, but would I be able to do it? Would I be hireable? Was it a mistake to go and take a turn and try something new? And I don't know. I don't know if I'll know the answer to that until I have to interview again, or if I need to join a place again full time. But at the same time, I'm also really grateful and trying to tell myself like, wow, I've learned a lot of things doing this that I don't think I would have learned at if I were staying on that same trajectory. Again, I spend 40% of my day just on admin tasks and learning how to write and communicate and how to set up spreadsheets to show others and track my work. And that sort of thing is not something I was practicing every day. And it's pretty interesting just to discover what things are exciting to you as you go outside of your normal day to day. And like, how does that affect like who you are and where you want to take your career?
Do you know who Paul Millard is? He wrote the book Pathless Path.
I don't think so. I haven't heard of that.
I'm going to leave it on the record because anyone who is interested in blazing their own trail, that book, Pathless Path, or there's an episode on Lenny's podcast where Paul goes on and you'll love it. You'll absolutely love it.
I'll check it out. Yeah.
One thing I wanted to touch on, I guess it was related even to like different Notion workflows or whatever, is I always felt like I should be putting my brain into Notion because that's the way that I could bring contractors in, where it's like, hey, these are all of the tasks that are required to do day-to-day operations. Everything is organized. You can just plug in, search, and execute a task based off of this setup. I'm curious, how much have you considered hiring people and working with contractors, and how does that fit into the vision for the type of employment that you want to create for yourself?
That's also a question I ask myself every day often. And I don't know if I have an answer, although the answer that I am running with at the moment is that I am enjoying every single day. Some days are worse than others. Some days are much better than others, but I am enjoying the work that I'm doing. And it's not a stressor for me to take on finance and emails and organization and setting up things. It's actually a little bit of a recharge moment that's away from Figma, that's away from design. And it helps me feel like I better understand what's happening with this little business and how it's going. And so I think what I'm trying to consider is the moment where I'm not enjoying those things, or where they're not bringing me new learnings, or where I just feel like it's taking away more energy than giving me, I'll consider hiring someone, because there's probably, even at the moment, there are probably so many people out there who are far better at those tasks than I am, but I'm still learning a lot by trying to do them. And that's the part I want to focus on. So at the moment, this business of mine is myself and my little dog, Ellie, and my wife's support. And I think I want to keep it that way. I think it feels pretty rewarding in the moment, but it's definitely not off the table of what could baseline look like in the future and what would hiring a partner look like. And how could I expand the work that I really enjoy doing and hope brings a lot of other people value?
I really like that answer, because I think you have this capitalistic pressure where it just has to scale. It has to grow. And this is the way that I grow, and I could outsource and leverage my time more. And it's, yes, I could.
Yeah. Yep.
But that doesn't sound that fun also. Like the thing that I've learned about myself by actually trying it, like I did work with contractors and I don't now. And I think a lot of it was because like, I don't want to manage contractors. That is the opposite of life-giving for me. And even if it adds to the bottom line, it's like allocating my time and energy towards things that I don't want to do. So I think you have a refreshing answer.
It's a lot like lifestyle creep, I think, where some variable income is a whole discussion in itself. And some months you're like, oh my gosh, like amazing. And some months you're like, wow, that was a really bad month. If next month is like this, I'm in trouble. And I think with running this business, it's important to consider that and keep that in mind, right? Where it's, yeah, I could totally pay a contractor this month. Like I want to pay people fairly, and I want to hire really talented people if that were the case. But I also just want to make sure things are steady, and then I'm not entering that world of panic where all of a sudden I have this business creep where, oh, I've got all of these new expenses and people to manage. And like now I'm taking away from like the work that I promised people I'm doing. So I'm trying really hard to keep it as tiny and as straight line as possible. Maybe a little bit of an incline, but as straight as possible, and not necessarily always up and to the right. I want to avoid that, because until I'm not enjoying this, or until I really feel like, ah, yeah, I've got to expand this or whatever this is, this little enterprise, I don't see the need, and I'm enjoying the size of it.
I remember I was cleaning my house because I had relatives coming over for Thanksgiving. This was like almost a year ago now. And I'm listening to the podcast with the Pathless Path guy, Paul. And in listening to that podcast, I like came face to face with this reality that I felt so much pressure to fill my week with work to the extent that it was before, just because I didn't actually know how to operate. And the reality that I like actually don't have to fill that final 10, 20 hours a week if I don't want to, wasn't even an option for me. And it actually, it sounds silly, but like it took someone being like, you're just conditioned to make this new independent journey look like what you are comfortable with. But like, it literally can look like anything that you want to design for yourself.
Yeah. I think it's called Parkinson's Law, and it's the law that says work expands to fill the time allotted for its completion. And I felt this a lot when I was starting. I was like, well, for my entire career, I've always worked nine and a half hours a day. So I guess Monday morning, I'm working nine and a half hours a day, right? And yeah, like you could totally do that. But now I'm like taking time for lunch. I'm like, I'm taking time to maybe, oh, I don't know, lay on the floor and look at the ceiling for an hour in between calls or something. But I've realized my schedule is my schedule. And that's a really freeing moment of this where some days I just don't have it in me and I feel quite exhausted or something happened in the world that really sucks your energy out. And so maybe I work 3 hours that day, but maybe Saturday and want to see a vision through. And so maybe it's a little bit more time then. So yeah, I think those moments are interesting where it's breaking away from, well, this is how I grew up as a designer. And so this is how I'm going to continue as a designer. That's a really fun moment. That feeling of I've got some freedom now and I can decide like how I work best. Maybe I don't work well in the mornings or maybe I work really well late at night, right? Really leaning into that is a lot of fun.
When I first had a kid, I did most of my workday was between like 1 and 7 in the morning because we were up constantly at night. And so I was like, ah, screw it. I'm just going to do all my work at night and then I'll just hang out with the family during the day. And so I do think, and maybe this is a little bit different for you because you do have more client work than I'm taking on, but like I'm able to think in terms of like weekly deliverables now.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't matter like when I do the work. And so I will like blitz like every Wednesday night, like I'll send out like an email newsletter the morning after. And I'm like putting the finishing touches on the episode and all this stuff. And I'll put in a solid 14-hour day on pretty much every single Wednesday.
Yeah.
But then I chill hard on Thursday. Yeah. I don't really do anything. And so it's been a fun exercise to really sprint and then relax and chill and rest. And my week looks much spikier than it did when I was doing a W-2. But at the end of the day, I'm still getting the same amount done. I'm just getting a little bit more creative in terms of like how I'm allocating my own efforts.
I think that's a real theme of going out on your own. And it really does look like a sine wave, right? You have the ups and the downs. Some days it's a lot more work. And to be honest, I did not do this because I wanted to work 12 hours a day or go or anything like that. I did this because I was feeling really burnt out of where I was at. And I wanted to try something new. And I just kept imagining if tomorrow were my last day, would I have regretted not trying this? I felt like it was deep in me to try to go independent and try to figure this out for myself. And I think those ups and downs are totally normal and expected, whether it's the income, whether it's the energy, whether it's how you're feeling about things. I had a day last week where I was like, I can't believe I get to work with this client at the moment, a total dream client. And then yesterday morning, I was like, I'm really tired. I feel pretty exhausted. Is this the right move? Am I taking on too much? So yeah, I think it's all about the ups and downs.
Okay, so let's zoom out. I want to reflect a little bit on your last year plus. Yeah. And maybe we could talk about some of the highs and the lows because
the lows,
they're
yeah.
equally a part of this. But we'll start on the high. What's like a win when you look back, like what's a win that you're just really proud of over the last year?
Yeah, the easy win to point to is I got to work with an amazing client. The project went live and wow, I can't believe I got to work on that and see it out there. And it's maybe a product that I use and others use. And to say I helped that from the perspective of my business, I'm like, that's amazing, right? That's a dream. I think the bigger win is no longer doubting myself in the way that I think I did for a long time. And I realize every single day, like I'm not doing anything hard or impossible here. Like it is going independent, scary and everything that we just talked about. But it's having newer confidence in myself that I can figure things out when they're unknown or when they're difficult. I feel like I have a better pathway to figuring things out rather than what I would have used to do, which was just riding this wave of anxiety and unknowns, right? And I think that's the win here. It's helped me shape like a little bit more of who I am and what I want to do. It's also shown me like how much I enjoy teaching. I had no idea that teaching would be this rewarding for me or something that I'd really want to consider doing even more of. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, like in the later part of my career, I'd love to be a professor somewhere. I'd love to work with like early career designers. And so I think that the real win is just learning new things about myself and also just being able to get through challenges that I think would have been really difficult before. They're still difficult now, but I feel like I can see the pathway of finding success or finding the answer, or finding the solution there a lot easier than I could have before.
Is there a challenge that you feel like you've overcome that we could talk about as an example?
Yeah, definitely. Gosh, where to start?
One of the 14.
There were a few moments where those situations came up where it was like, I didn't know what I didn't know, and I didn't know I should be paying this or doing that or recording this. And those moments can cause a lot of panic because you're like, oh my gosh, like I did it. This is it. This is when people find out like I'm a total fraud and I shouldn't have been doing this. And I just got myself in some sort of trouble. You know what I mean? And the reality that I found is that anytime you mess up or anytime you forgot to send a payment or do something related to any of the more admin side of things, there is almost always a person or a service out there who is completely dedicated to helping you figure out that situation, whether it's a CPA or a lawyer or even just a friend who's done this before. That is a moment that has helped me a lot because it's not the end of the world if something goes wrong. It's just, okay, I got to figure this out now. I think I've also had a lot of moments where maybe I did take a little bit too much on in the early days because it was really hard to say no. And when you don't have a completely solidified source of income, you want to say yes to everything. But it's really easy to burn out and it's really easy to get in over your head. And the worst thing ever is having to tell a client, hey, I took on too much. I've got to call it. Like, I'm really sorry. I always want to avoid that situation. And I had a couple of those, to be completely transparent. Like, I definitely had a couple of those in the early days. And I've learned so much through time blocking and also trying to understand, like, what are the things I feel like I can get done pretty quickly? And what are the things that, like, documentation, for example, like, really take a long time or feel a little bit difficult?
I think for me, it was like a lot of the legal work was super hard because I had made a few like contracts for like traditional freelance design stuff. But all of a sudden, I'm creating contracts for these like partnerships with these companies within a media bucket. And it seems so silly, but like the thing that I'm like so proud of in the last year is like finding a lawyer, building a relationship with that person, like getting the documents that I needed and getting them to companies. And that was my moment where I'm like, here's my partnership agreement. And I like in your head, you're just like, they're going to think I'm complete idiot. Yeah. And I even messed up once. I sent the wrong file at one point and I thought it was the one I had saved over it and it used the wrong company name. And I thought I hit send and then I got the reply. I thought I could get on the floor and throw up. Like I was like, I cannot believe I just did that.
I've had those moments.
But it worked. It worked. It was, and now I'm feeling like, okay, I got that box checked. It was a box that I'd never even considered before. It feels pretty good.
Yeah, I've had those moments for sure where you send, I just did this last week. I was talking to someone and I was emailing someone and I used the person I was talking to. I used their name and the email and I totally sent the wrong name to someone who I was hoping to work with. And I was like, oh my God, this is it. I'm done. It was such a horrible moment because that's my biggest fear is like using or pronouncing someone's incorrect name or name incorrectly. And I sent an email. I was like, hey, I'm so sorry. I was just on the phone with someone. They're like, don't worry about it, right? Every moment like that is a lot smaller than you think and happens so often. And on that note too, when I was first going out, I thought that I have to have a lawyer, right? And that's thousands of dollars an hour and I can't afford that. I have no idea how to do this and succeed. And the thing that I found is, again, like back to the point of there are services and companies and people who are dedicated to this sort of thing. You'd be surprised the number of subscription-based law firms there are out there that are dedicated solely to creators like you and I, Rid. I work with one. It's a couple $100 a month, but I have a lawyer on retainer I can go to read over a contract or to help me through something. I definitely had a win the other week where I was emailing someone. We were going back and forth on a contract and they were like, great, can you ask your legal team to make this change? And I was like, awesome. They think I have a legal team and it's just me. So, you know, moments like that show you that you're learning and you're growing and you're progressing and you can do the thing. You can edit the contract. You can use ChatGPT to help you understand like what are the differences and what this clause says versus this clause, and maybe use a lawyer to double check everything. But, you know, you can go so much further than I think you could a few years ago with just a few tools out there.
You're so right. I feel so much more comfortable with ChatGPT, it's actually crazy. Like I just upload the PDF and ask questions about it, or I'll be like, hey, just read this to me, like section by section, and explain it to me like I'm 12.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do without that.
And that's another thing, right? There are so many legal-based terms that I've come across that I had no idea what their definition was before. Again, going back to the notes, anytime I run into a term or a clause or something that I don't quite know, I'll just put it into a note and then I'll capture like my interpretation of it and then maybe the real interpretation of it. That way I can refer back to it. And I feel like...
smart.
All right, when I come back to this, like I can just search for non-exclusive and I know what that means in terms of rights. And so little moments like that help a lot. But again, it all feels incredibly intimidating, even a year out now. I can even imagine 10 years now if I'm still doing this, like I bet I will still have the same level of intimidation in a lot of ways. But I think the important thing to know is, like, I mean, Rid, when I look at you, like, you're successful doing this. You've been out on your own for a bit, but I'm sure you have the same thoughts I do. And it feels just as intimidating and scary sometimes.
Crippling anxiety and fear about everything. Yeah, I'm
right there. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a good learning that it's not unique. Everyone's going through this. Even the people who are outside looking in seem and appear incredibly successful and like they've got it together. Whether it's an individual or a company, it's often not the case when you really dig in.
Is there something that was intimidating when you were first getting started, but then you actually realized, oh, like that's not actually that big of a deal?
Writing emails, for sure. And making sure that I was able to communicate effectively, like the services that I want to do and can do. I was talking to a friend a couple weeks ago, and they were also, they're freelancing. And they were like, I'm working with this client right now. And to be honest, like, it's not a good fit. I don't feel happy in the work that I'm doing. I feel more miserable than I did at my previous job, but I'm just going through it. And I think a learning there, or something we were chatting about, was like, you are your own boss now. Not every client is the right fit. And it doesn't mean that you're not good at your job if you were to let them go or transition. And how it relates back to email is, I was really afraid of how do I communicate like the things that I want to do and can do for you and be really clear about that. If someone was asking me like, oh, can you do X, Y, and Z? And I'm really bad, or I really don't enjoy doing X, Y, and Z. Like, learning to say, actually, no, I'd prefer to do this. Most of the time it goes completely okay. And they're like, awesome, we understand. We'll have you do this, or we'll have you not work on that. Pricing is really hard too. Understanding your own value and what you can bring to a team is really difficult. In my first days, transparently, I was charging hourly, and I still am in a lot of ways. But as I get better at this work and as I get faster at it, hourly doesn't quite make the most sense that it did, or as much sense as it did before, because I'm doing the same work, but I'm doing it faster, right? And I don't want to earn less because of that. I hope that I can earn more because I'm hopefully getting better at it, right? And so even understanding like when is it right to charge per project or weekly and to move on from things like that is really hard and really scary. And I still don't have the confidence in myself, truthfully. Am I charging enough, or am I doing the right things, or am I pricing everything like as I should? But it's a lot of learning. And if something doesn't work, like, you'll find out. If you don't get the job because of the pricing, like, you'll find out. And so you take a lot of those inputs and do something with it.
What about the flip side? Is there something that you didn't see coming, or you just like straight up underestimated that ended up being a little bit more challenging than you originally thought?
Yeah, I'm a pretty open book. And this is where I'd love to share with you and anyone listening who might be going through this too. Like, truthfully, I have had the best year of my life as it relates to this career. I feel so happy. I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I'm getting to share with people. I can't believe I get to work with clients and run this course, and that I get to sit here in this little office of mine every day and do this work. It still feels like a dream. But personally, I think I've had one of the worst years of my life. I ended up needing a small surgery last year, and the surgery went fine, but I never quite healed from it. And that resulted in two extra surgeries from that. One, which was out of state with someone who I had never met before. I had to drive almost 9 hours to visit this surgeon. And like, those are really big events and really distracting and really hard. And to be honest, like for a while there, I think I'd lost a lot of hope. I was like clinging onto this business and this work is the thing to get me through. And to be honest, I still am in some ways, just as I try to continue to recover and heal. So I think that's my answer. Like, sometimes even if you're at a full-time job, or if you're trying something new, or if you're going independent, life does not stop. And I've been through a lot, diagnosed with type 1 diabetes 8 years ago. There's a lot of other health things I've gone through, but this is the one that's really shaken me a little bit and taken me out more than I ever expected it to. And trying to balance those things with doing your own thing and not letting clients down and keeping up on the work, that's a real challenge. I don't know if I have a good answer to it, other than trying to balance like the work with the things that make me happy and the people that make me happy. And it doesn't always go perfect. I will be the first to say that. Some days are just worse than others. And some days I don't show up for myself how I wish I would have. But yeah, I think it's all trying to take it in stride. And one day at a time is the mantra over here.
Hey, it's Rid. I'm constantly asked about my favorite products, so I'm gonna take just 1 minute and give you a quick rundown of my stack. Desen is how I ship design changes without having to code. Framer is how I build my websites. Genway is how I do research. Jitter is how I animate my designs. And Play is how I design and prototype mobile apps.
Visual Electric is how I generate all of my imagery, and Raycast is my shortcut every step of the way. Now, I've hand selected these companies to partner with me so that I can do these episodes full time. So the best way by far to support the show is to check them out. You can find the full list at dive.club/partners. Okay, now on to the rest of the episode.
What's it been like going through that as an independent where, like, you're in many ways a lot more alone than you have been before? And I haven't gone through anything to the extent that you're going through, but when things are low, you don't get to piggyback off of other people's energy, and you lose that regular interaction with coworkers. And I know that is like always an ongoing thing, and it's not like you checked the box, but how have you dealt with that increased loneliness now that you're off on your own?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because even if I didn't have those things going on, this work can sometimes seem really isolating. You know, you're out on your own. You are responsible for your success and your failure in many ways. And something that's helped me is realizing, again, there are a lot of people who've done this, and I'm thankful for friends like you, Rid, and other friends who have actually gone out and done similar things. And one thing that I've been doing weekly is I meet with a good friend of mine who is also independent, and he and I are going through many similar things, but also very different things. And having that kind of weekly check-in together where we just share what's working, what's not working, what's the week ahead look like, how do I open up a solo 401k, you know, like questions that we're both facing has been extremely helpful. One thing I've been doing too with a small group of friends is, like, together, we will get on a call once a month and we'll just chat about, like, things that we find interesting or are learning, or I never thought I'd say, but, like, we're doing like a little book club, and like we're trying to read together and actually to stay in touch in that way. And that has been awesome, because this work can definitely feel a little bit isolating and lonely. And although I'm working with amazing teams and amazing people, it's always in the back of your head that I'm not on this team. I don't have the same seat that they do. Although I'm really glad to be here and I feel like I'm really connected to this team, I'm still over here. And I chose that. And so I think it's a good reminder of finding friendship in other ways and finding community in other ways. I'm writing again, and I'm trying to focus a lot more effort into my newsletter and, like, weekly reflections. And I'm reading a lot more than I think I ever did. And reading from people who I really admire and look up to. And I think all of that is maybe not necessarily giving me the exact same level of companionship than I had before, but it's helping, and it's maybe helping in ways that are new.
I think it comes back to that theme that you were hitting on earlier, where it's just everything feels unique to you, but actually there is, like, a broader community of people that are all experiencing this. They're all just figuring it out for the first times on their own. And I think that shared struggle a little bit does make it almost easier to connect with other independents. Like, maybe it's just my experience, but, like, I've found it a lot easier to have regular interactions with people who are independent rather than other people that are doing W-2 things. And I think it is just because we all feel that desire for connection. Like, I'm meeting right after this, I have a meeting with two other people that are writing design newsletters. And it's like,
amazing.
Feels good just to be seen in that, because it's a weird thing to even think about, and you have so many questions and you have no idea actually how things are going for you. So it's definitely an important part.
I think one thought that I'm developing myself, and maybe others are feeling this too, but certainly in the age of AI and content that can feel a little more generic, I've been finding a lot of, friendship or companionship and people I've never talked to or met before through watching them on YouTube or reading newsletters and I think more than ever, I think people want to know the person behind the computer more and more. And I am trying really hard and not necessarily that it's difficult to do, but it's difficult to believe that people want to read things that aren't just completely put together. Here's perfectionism. Here's how everything's going. And as a part of what I'm writing now, I really do want to try to share weekly little bits of, this actually was pretty hard, or this is something I'm struggling with, or just to allow people who are maybe thinking about the same things or even in the same career as myself of design, it's not all perfect. And there's a lot of questions and unknowns and uncertainties, as we've talked about today, that everyone is going through. And so for me, finding creators who I really align with and enjoy watching, even if I've never talked to them, I feel friends from afar, right? And I feel like I'm able to come back to that and to come back to their content, which has been really helpful. And it's a nice way to start the day.
Do you have any examples or people that you particularly like listening to or reading from?
Ollier, who I know is just on the show, always enjoy watching his content from afar. He's just a unique person who is sharing a lot of the things that many people are afraid to talk about when it comes to defining or finding success. And I'm enjoying that. It gives me the confidence to share more of that my own to help others understand that you can do this. Also, I spend most of my day like reading or listening to tech related content, as most of us do, and usually in the app world and such. And one area that I've been finding a lot of joy in is seeing new creators pop up who are enjoying talking about this as well. And like Steven Robles, someone who I've really enjoyed watching recently, like someone new to YouTube who just a couple months hit 100,000, not because of clickbait or anything like that, but because of you can tell like he's someone who really cares about that work. And I'm trying to take a lot of inspiration from people like that. People who really, whether it's in design and you can tell they really enjoy their craft and you can see the details, or whether it's in the work and how they write and how they put things out there. I think there's a lot to be gathered from that. So the list of my YouTube subscriptions is quite long, but yeah.
I appreciate the two nuggets.
Yeah. Though.
And for what it's worth, like, I always look forward when I can read something that you've written about variables in Figma or Play or something like that. But yeah. I have especially enjoyed some of the recent newsletters that you've been sharing. And I think there's rawness and an openness with what you're writing, and you're tapping into a lot of things that I think people feel, but there isn't as much of a dialogue about. And
yeah.
I hope that for people listening, this kind of accomplished a similar feel in terms of the episode format. And I just really appreciate, Joey, who you are in the community and
thanks.
Your willingness to have all the conversations and to really share what it is like. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Of course, thanks
pulling
for
back the
me.
Curtain, giving a little bit of an update. We're super happy for you, and thanks. It's just great to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, friends. The list of privileges and things that I've been given, I don't take lightly. And I really want to, like, for anyone who's going through this, maybe you're not even considering going independent, maybe you're just struggling at a job and you're a designer, or you're wondering like if what's the right move, or maybe you have some of these these thoughts that keep you up at night that we've been chatting about, please feel free to reach out. One thing that I share often is like when I was first starting in design, I was trying to meet with 9 or 10 people a week to get coffee with or to have coffee with. And those people and them sharing their stories and like keeping in touch to this day, I feel like they are responsible for where I'm at now. And so as much as I can, I want to try to do that for others because I recognize how much of that helped me. So please reach out if there's ever anything I can help with. Rid, I really appreciate talking to you. And it's so cool that we got to start and that I get to join you back and see where you're at now. So thanks.
Yeah, this was fun. Thanks for coming on. Hey, it's Rid. Don't forget, if you want to go even deeper, each week I send an email out to over 10,000 designers with bonus resources and key takeaways from these conversations. So head to dive.club/email to sign up. Okay, I'll see you next week.